back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, May 27th, 2016. I am your host, Chris Hinckley, and so we're kind of talking about the coalescence of forces, this concept of just unified effort and what I would call or generally categorize as assumptive tyranny. You notice that you don't get the choice. The decision is made for you. That is represented in a variety of ways, not the least of which would be software updates on your various devices these days, small and big alike, desktops, laptops, cell phones, tablets, etc., etc. The growing consensus is that the presumption is that you just would like us to apply these updates. It's better for you because we know what's best, especially when it comes to these devices. Therefore, we know what's best for you. And so in that case, you should just let us decide when to apply these updates. Well, the problem with that, the problems are myriad. So if you're like me, you don't always want those updates applied when the experts, the technocrats, think that they should be applied. And so it becomes a battle to some extent, because the button, you have a few buttons. You know, you have a few choices. In this example, you have the button that's always enabled by default, which is let us download and apply the updates. Let us inform you is the next one. And, you know, let us inform you of updates and ask you whether you'd like them applied. And then there is the do not be notified of updates button. So you have those three choices generally, but the presumption is usually that you want those updates downloaded and applied automatically. And this is the growing consensus in society. Again, this gets back to a philosophical and psychological mindset and effect. And it really, quite frankly, draws back directly to a number of things that have been discussed on this broadcast, centering around that state of perpetual infancy. Santayana's words, for instance, from The Life of Reason, Volume 1, Reason and Common Sense: progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. Does that include your online experience? Does that include other aspects of life? When change is absolute, or constant, you might say, when change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Which is akin to Ingsoc's slogan from Orwell's 1984, Eric Arthur Blair's 1984. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. Or the way I remember it, who controls the present controls the past, and who controls the past controls the future or shapes the future. And, but we forget these things, ironically. So, the folks driving, shaping technology and in turn society because of the technocratic regime or agenda are applying this assumptive tyranny in a variety of ways for your convenience. For your, it's more efficient. It's more convenient. It's better. Let us decide. And that is what technocracy is by definition. They are the experts, therefore they decide in a variety of ways. And you heard that in Elie Pariser's talk. That's precisely what's happening. Your experience is being tailored by the technocrats on the web. And that doesn't just end there on the web, obviously. And it is rippling out through the devices on the web, through every other experience, the assumptive tyranny, the assumption that this is what you want, this is the kind of experience that you want. You want us to tailor it, the technocrats, they say, they believe. And you can see that, and you can see in a variety of ways, if you look closely, how that serves a very small interest, and it is an increasingly smaller interest. And you can feel the tyranny of it if you look closely. I won't even get into some of the examples. I want to give you Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's talk, or at least part of it. We won't get all of it in, but you can see it. If you look closely, how a lot of the experiences, it's becoming more tyrannical all the time, and there is a hysterical antagonism that goes along with it. And what I mean in simple terms with these multinational corporations and the way that we are all, it's the Machiavellian intrigue and this death grip that they get on you, the tyranny of these systems that are being put in place. And with the assumptive tyranny comes the kind of the reversal of the old mantra, the customer is always right. Now the customer is always wrong. The customer is virtually meaningless, pun somewhat intended. That's the direction things are trending. I remember, for example, working at Great Western Bank in Los Angeles back in the early to mid 90s, and it was quite a cultural experience. It is a place referred to by some as Little Jerusalem, and by others as Little Russia. These immigrants that would come from other places. Uncle Sam was generous enough to reward them handsomely for making the trip, to the tune of around $10,000 or so. Back in the early to mid 90s, that was fairly significant, more so than today. And so that was interesting. But I remember working at the bank, one of the activities that was expected of the staff on days where there wasn't anything particularly notable happening was to call the NSF report. You would call, you know, this was something that would happen once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. It was something that was forgotten, just one of those leftover kinds of duties. So you call the NSF report and ask Mrs. Jones if she was going to come in, or, you know, whomever. Were you aware that your account is overdrawn? Do you think you'll be able to make it in? Yes, I. So this was not something that was approached with the kind of hysterical antagonism that we see today, which is what I'm referring to. And so you fast forward to today. Now most of the larger financial institutions have their ACH software, automated clearinghouse, reconciliation software, written in such a fashion that when the posts take place, they run your debits first and your credits second. So you might be overdrawn at Wells Fargo, for example, for a millisecond at midnight as the debits post and then the credits behind them. So you may have made a deposit that day, but you had checks that were clearing too. And so for a millisecond, you were overdrawn. And they hit you with a $35 fee per. They're not calling you anymore. They're just dinging you. This is the sort of hysterical antagonism that comes along with this assumptive tyranny. But this is what the technocratic regime does. And not to get too philosophical, but the problem with this is that it leaves out God's grace and mercy. We live in a world still that is marked by God's grace and mercy, and we are supposed to be kind and merciful to one another. That is the admonition. Do not repay evil for evil, generally speaking. And so what we're missing in this increasingly tyrannical technocratic regime is the grace and mercy, the opportunity for love to grow. And what I mean specifically is an example that I've given for quite some time now. I think if you look, the story in Luke 17, for example, you know, Jesus saying, if your brother comes to you seven times, or if your brother sins you against you or offends you seven times, and comes to you seven times and says, forgive me, forgive him. The disciples say, oh, Lord, increase our faith. And he says, listen, just paraphrasing, he says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, if you had the tiniest iota of faith, you would say to this tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. But then he gives an obedience admonition. Which one of you, having a servant in the field, when he's done plowing, comes in, you say to him, hey, feed yourself, take care of me later. You don't say that. You say to the servant, take care of me. And then when you're done doing that, then you can worry about feeding yourself. So you also, he says, ought to have done, so you also ought to say, we are only unworthy servants. We have done that which we've only done that which we ought to have done. And so the point there, if I could read between the lines, is that obedience builds faith. Obedience builds faith. It's misconstrued oftentimes as a faith passage. It's an obedience passage. Listen to what he says about the servant and then the admonition to the disciples. So you also ought to say this. You ought to just be obedient, because it will build your faith. If you're obedient, you know, again, back to the story of Saul and David and so forth. Saul of the Old Testament, that is, and David being picked as king. In 1 Samuel 16, the revelation that obedience is better than sacrifice is mentioned. Actually, it's 1 Samuel 15. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So, you know, as God says, the cattle on a thousand hills are his. So what of what use is sacrifice to him? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So anyway, Luke 17, just real quick. We're supposed to forgive, and the psychologists of today will tell you that's enabling, missing the distinction, again, conflating things that ought not be conflated. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you or offends you seven times, comes to you seven times and says, forgive me, then forgive him. People will say, well, how do I know he's sincere? How do I know this person is sincere? What if they're just placating me? What if they're giving me lip service and just saying they're sorry? It's not for you to decide. God is the one who tests hearts. But that's Jesus' admonition. And the enabling is something different. That's when the person doesn't come and apologize and ask for forgiveness. And the other party forgives them anyway and allows that to continue. That's more of an enabling scenario. So the person sins or offends, they come and say, please forgive me, even if it's 1,000 times. Jesus says, forgive him. And then you jump back to Luke 7, the woman washing Jesus' feet with her tears, and you realize that love is the fertile seedbed, or forgiveness is a fertile seedbed of love, and that's what we're missing in this tyrannical, technocratic age. Luke 7 is the account of the Pharisee who invites Jesus in for dinner. And among other things, the Pharisee, Simon. The story real quick. I'll give it to you. Then we'll go to the phones. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. This, in a nutshell, is what's missing in this technocratic tyranny, this technocratic age that removes grace and mercy, because it's ruthless and exacting. It's efficient. And remember, what comes with efficiency is the expectation that the margin of error is reduced significantly, in an effort to get to a margin of error of zero. So if you have zero margin for error and you are an imperfect being, where does that leave you? As a society, as a whole, where does that leave all of us? If that's our expectation and that's what's happening, do we not see that? It's why it's so ruthless, tyrannical, and oppressive to live in a technocratic regime. It's the devil's system. It's ruthless and exacting. So the story, Luke 7. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him, Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he, Jesus, capital H, was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing before him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him. He answered his thoughts. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. Jesus said, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he, Jesus, said to him, you have judged correctly. So what's the punchline? Well, we'll come back with that after this short break, and we'll go to the phones. Stick around right after this break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender. lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, welcome back. So, for the conclusion of the story, again, Luke 17, forgiveness. If your brother offends you seven times, comes to you and asks, or sins against you seven times, comes to you and seven times and asks for forgiveness, forgive him, Jesus says. But then in Luke 7, there is the account of the Pharisee, Simon, who invites Jesus to dinner, and the woman washing his feet with her tears. And so the punchline in that story, Jesus asks Simon, a moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50, because Simon believes that if Jesus knew who this woman really was, she's a sinner, he wouldn't stand for what's happening. So Jesus says a moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. So Simon, do you get the message? Then he said to her, I say parenthetically, so Simon, do you get the message? Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And there's more, but you know, that's the example. The technocrats kind of represent the Pharisee, and they are reshaping the society. They are the folks that when you contrast the experience the sinner walks into to church, so to speak, the empty church, and falls on his face, tears his shirt, and says, I'm wretched, I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me, please. And the Pharisee comes in behind him, stands at the back of the hall, and says, oh, thank God I'm not like that guy. So the technocrats kind of represent the ruthless and exacting standard that is the expectation, the growing expectation in this society. Can you see it? Can you feel it? There's no room for error. There's no margin for error. And the problem with that is that it breeds this Machiavellian mindset, like begets like. There is no room for grace and mercy in this system. And really what that means is that there's no room for imperfect people. There's no room for people. Because in the final analysis, there is no one on this earth who is perfect. That is an untenable standard. So then what? And you can see society, this society in particular, trending that direction. And that is the unfortunate reality that this brings. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Glenn and Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
Hi. Hey. Yeah, there's no mercy for the little guy. You know, we see, horrible oppression for, average or little people. Fine structures designed to destroy people rather than compel obedience. We see, white-collar criminals routinely walk and the little guy get nailed. But if you... wreck an oil tanker in Prince William Sound or blow up an oil batholith on the base of the Gulf of Mexico or negligently cause Fukushima to be destroyed, nobody ever seems to go to jail for that stuff,
Yeah.
All the, if you're part of the system, white collar or executive, or politico, you don't go, but the little guy gets nailed for jaywalking.
Right. It's interesting. So yeah, the oil companies that get fined, in the millions while they make billions versus the punitive fines and fees of the individual, by the financial institutions and things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Slap on the wrist. Yeah, the people getting fined $30,000 a day for being out of compliance on some war.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Moisture Control Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave units require no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no-maintenance Wave unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit mydryhome.com, mydryhome.com.
Ride the wave, Wave Home Solutions, for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
The second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday, May 27th, 2016. You know, I wanted to give you the Rupert Sheldrake talk. Graham Hancock and Rupert Sheldrake at the TEDx Whitechapel talk back in 2013. It's interesting. If you search TED.com for Rupert Sheldrake, you'll get zero talks, zero people, zero playlists, and four blog posts, zero pages, zero TEDx events. And what's fascinating about that is if you click on the first search result, open for discussion, Graham Hancock and Rupert Sheldrake from TEDx Whitechapel, the introductory words are, after due diligence including a survey of published scientific research and recommendations from our science board, an anonymous board, by the way. We've decided that Graham Hancock's and Rupert Sheldrake's talks from TEDx Whitechapel should be removed from distribution on the TEDx YouTube channel. We're not censoring the talks. Instead, we've placed them here where they can be framed to highlight both their provocative ideas and the factual problems with their arguments. It's interesting, just to cut to the chase, it's essentially silencing them. Again, they are not listed as people. The talks are not listed. The videos that are embedded on that blog page are private Vimeo links. You have to log in to view. So the point is that there is no widespread circulation. So it's interesting, the deflection. We're not censoring the talks. And if you listen to Rupert Sheldrake's points, he makes valid points. I don't agree with all of them, but he is a dissenting voice, and therefore he is in effect, he has in effect been silenced by this technocratic regime. And he responds to the accusation or the accusations that have been made in very level-headed fashion, but the world doesn't know, because again, the discussion has been drawn into a corner and effectively snuffed out. So that's that assumptive tyranny. You know, all voices agree, and those that don't, well, they are silenced. Anyway, we're on the phones. Phone lines are open. We have Glenn in Philly, and Glenn, you were making a point. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, just the merciless nature of the hypocrisy dual standard and merciless nature of modern corruption. But yeah. I think I'd go with presumptive rather than assumptive tyranny. They're presuming to be tyrannical, and tyranny is always kind of presumption, actually. But I wanted to comment on your bumper music. You had some 60 songs mixed in there. And I sort of detected that sort of like a bit of a sardonic edge to that. You know, the naive idealism of the 60s, you know, kind of, is that sort of intended?
I think so. That was a collaborative effort. I would say generally that's definitely intended.
Yeah, sort of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, naive Absolutely. Commentary on the naivete of the 60s. About Noam Chomsky, pick on him a little bit. You know, the modern apostle of the New Left, as they mentioned the New Left in there.
Yep.
And I'll pick on his use of the words inequality and democracy. Well, you know, that any conservative patriot's going to jump right in and say democracy is a bad thing. You know, it's not. And also inequality. The problem is not inherently inequality, because. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was Abraham Lincoln said that he knew of no two men who were equal. Like, if you can't be both equal and unique at the same time, you know, and then people right. vary in their talents, skills, abilities, and their ambition. You know, so, like in a capitalist society where there's some correlation between ambition, effort, and reward, there isn't going to be equality. You know, there should certainly be equality under the law, and equality of freedom, the opportunity of freedom to better oneself or one's lot. But I certainly don't agree with it, like any socialist concept of equality. You know, certainly there's, I would agree with Chomsky in terms of the disproportionality of, you know.
And a widening disparity, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, disparity, disproportionality. A thin layer of the few enriching himself with windfall profits while the masses suffer. So, you know, certainly that's horrible, but that certainly occurs also in communist societies with socialist economics where everybody's supposed to be equal, and we have the clarion call observation that some are more equal than others. So, you know, communism, socialism doesn't prevent oligarchy ultimately at the top, so I always come back to the example of Henry Ford paying good wages to his employees so they could afford to buy the cars that they were making. You know, the at some point, this all comes down to benevolence versus malevolence. I mean, you know, if there is no goodwill, if there is no benevolence, is, I mean, in a sense, even under capitalism, the goal isn't to take every penny you can, you know, charging what the market will bear, isn't the same necessarily as being as absolutely stingy and greedy as possible. They're not the same thing. You know, that has just has to do with price setting. In a benevolent society, you know, an employer may see fit to provide his employees with good health care benefits or a 401k or something like that. You know, take good care of the employees because maybe you're insightful enough to know that you get better milk from contented cows, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a sneaking suspicion Chomsky's going to end up being a little more socialist in his view of economics than I would be.
Sure. Absolutely. And egalitarian, maybe, as he might put it, or others might put it. Absolutely. I agree with you. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Egalitarianism doesn't always work out so well.
No. Yeah.
But
I would agree with you. Yeah.
I would gladly have paid 25% more for my iPad mini, knowing that people weren't wanting to throw themselves from the third story catwalks of the Foxconn factory. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oops.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I think that's about all I had today, Chris. So, thank you.
You're welcome. And I agree. You know, I would say on your point, distinction between assumptive and presumptive, I would agree, but I use assumptive purposefully as a pejorative, as I'm sure that most people would.
Well, I think I would suggest that assumption, I mean, I think actually, I would just suggest that it sounds presumptuousness is more pejorative than making an assumption. You might assume something for the sake of argument or make assumptions in mathematics, or, you know, assumptions are often stage setting but not necessarily bad. Presumption, I would suggest, is inherently negatively connoted, but I'm just getting way too wordy, so I'll catch you later.
not the split hairs. By definition, to assume is to suppose to be the case without proof or without conclusive evidence, but to presume would be to suppose something is the case on the basis of probability. And so your point is definitely valid. You know, they use probability and statistics in their, you know, algorithms to decide which button they're going to enable by default. But I would say, they're supposing to be the case without proof because they haven't asked me.
Right. If you look at the words, the A is simply a negating prefix, whereas pre simply means before. So we're really splitting fine semantic hairs here on presentation, but I got
probably
you, man. Have,
the same
have a good
thing.
One. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah. You too. Thanks, Glenn. Points on Noam Chomsky definitely valid too, and I would agree. I think that, you know, if you can set that aside and watch what he says in the documentary, the mechanics are definitely in place, and it is essentially a lock. Again, you know, this is a kind of a unilateral effort, and the voices that we hear are the same. There are no dissenting voices, and they're silenced. We need to get to Rupert Sheldrake's talk at some point. Probably do that next week, because that, I think, is one of the best examples. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Okay, I have 2 points. I love what you're saying about virtue and morality. The rub comes with religion. Okay, which religion? Okay, even if we would pick Christianity, okay, which Bible? The Catholic Bible, the King James Bible, the Scofield Bible? And you see, I've found that all of these books are only as good as the hands of the person that they're in. because evil people take that book and use it for evil purposes to justify oppression, murder, slavery, and we know this from looking at history. My second point is about forgiveness. I'm wondering how many people in this audience would be willing to forgive Hillary Clinton 1,000 times. I'd say that's about a zero. Okay? And wait, I'm in that group. Okay? That woman is the last person I want to be the first female president of the United States. The thing is, it's always easier to accept the whole forgiveness thing if, because I find Christianity often favors the abuser over the abused, because I've seen people flip this script and use actually the forgiveness thing as a tool for evil, beating the victim up again. Well, you need to forgive, where the person, where actually they're being abused by this principle, again, often even maybe by the person who sinned against them in the first place. So the thing is, I've seen this misused a lot. Okay, so the thing is, but I couldn't help but be laughing at myself, going, yeah, I wonder how many of these people would be willing to forgive Hillary 1,000 times. I have a feeling that number is going to be real low.
Okay.
How about you, Chris?
Well, first of all, so religion and forgiveness. Forgiving Hillary Clinton. The first order of business is to determine whether or not she's asked for forgiveness, because in the example that Jesus gives in Luke 17,
let's say she asked for it 1,000 times.
It's prefaced on the notion that the person in question has asked. So I would find it hard to imagine in her Machiavellian mindset, Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power, for example, that she would ask forgiveness of anything. If she would humble herself, and if she would have that change of countenance and be the kind of person that would ask forgiveness, I would forgive her.
I'll admit it. Well, you're a better person than me. I can't go the 1,000. There's no way. Give somebody a couple of tries, but if they, after a certain point, you have to say, look, this person has shown their true nature. You can't just keep doing that over and over again. So that's kind of a principle. Like I say, because I know this can be abused. So I know they wrote it in the book.
But it's a different economy. It's a different economy. See, the difference is, the distinction is, in God's economy, so to speak, the difference is you see demonstrated in passages like Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us. God demonstrates it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the point there is that God knew. He says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, that not only does he see the end from the beginning, he declares it. It's one of the ways that he is uniquely him. And so he knew that even though we wouldn't necessarily get it, or that we would still be at animosity or at enmity with him, even though that being the case, as Romans 5:8 says, he demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's an example of, in a broader context, that concept in Luke 17. And so yes, you may be right. What if she really is placating us all? What if she really says, what if she does what her husband did on national television and international television, where she's placating people, saying, whatever with her thumb and all of that, lying to people straight faced? Well, if she's asking for forgiveness, the admonition in Luke 17, ideologically speaking, philosophically speaking, is to forgive. Regardless of motive, because and so the point is, at some point, if there really is a conversion, if there hasn't been, if there really is a conversion, a change of heart, even if there hasn't been up to that point. Maybe 999 times you're right. She is abusive with that forgiveness. She has malice aforethought, and she's thinking, well, I'll just ask because I know that these people will always forgive me if I ask. Mm-hmm. That's their ideological leaning. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take advantage of that. And that's, you know, what Machiavellianism is to me. It's to deceive or mislead for gain or advantage. But what happens when she does that 999 times, and then on the 1,000th time, something happens miraculously?
Too bad.
She has a conversion. And like Luke 7 points out, she, in this case, who is forgiven much, 999 times, loves much. It's the fertile seedbed of love. It's not for us to decide matters of the heart. That's God to decide. I'll answer the other points when we come back. Stick around, folks, more after this short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Before
back. Final segment of today's Roadbury Radio broadcast this Friday, May 27th, 2016, going into the weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I hope you have a good one. I hope you're able to, who knows, maybe kind of observe the spirit of the day, perhaps, in the true sense. Anyway, we're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina on the line. And Renee, can I address your other points real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's the point on forgiveness. If we went that direction, we are headed in a direction that is ruthless, tyrannical, and exacting. That's kind of the point. Forgiveness is the fertile seedbed of love, and those who believe the Bible, you know, the point is I guess best summarized, you know, in the words of Paul, perhaps, again, in context, to live as Christ, to die as gain, or as Paul put it in Romans 8, quoting the Psalms, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This earthly experience is not necessarily the end-all, be-all, or the focal point in that economy, so to speak. And so with that in mind, forgiveness in this context takes on a different relevance or importance, I suppose. If we are all just trying to get as much as we can as much as we can get, and whoever dies with the most toys wins, well, then that's a different economy, and then forgiveness obviously takes on a different connotation. But as far as religion is concerned, I didn't mention religion, and I usually don't for a specific reason. As I always say, we need to define terms. In this context, religion is irrelevant, I would say. However, regarding religion, as I always say, when it comes to virtue, morality, and religion, I would define religion the way that James does in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. That would be religion. And translations and so on and so on, I always refer people to the secret decoder ring, as I call it, or him, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:8 through 16. And the concluding thought on that is perhaps in Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the translations are irrelevant, and man is imperfect, but God is strong enough to get a message to whom he wants, when he wants, how he wants. So,
liberty. So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on a smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water and it's leaving white spots, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes. Limescale can cost hundreds of dollars a year in wasted energy and early appliance breakdown. HydroCare systems available at Wave Home Solutions prevent and remove limescale with just a simple filter change every 3 years. There are no salts, chemicals, or magnetic coils. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, just go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.